So how do you go from being like this surprise, this like, you know, kind of like indie darling, like up and coming, you know, booker for House of Glory, and how does that all fall apart, and how does Tier 1 start?
Well, you know, I love being a booker there, like assistant booker, as you like to say. Like, I loved helping the students come up with storylines. Like, Ken Broadway, he was supposed to be, like, the Floyd Mayweather of House of Glory with his entourage. Mm-hmm. And it's really awesome. I was told, like, some of the students wanted to listen to Red. Some of them wanted to listen to me. And I was told, like, I was separating the school. And they didn't want me in the school anymore. And I was like, all right, you know, that's fine. And there were so many times where I wanted to quit, and I did quit, and I would, you know, Facebook Brian or call Brian, and, like, you know, within 20 minutes, he would come to my house and talk things out, and, you know, here I'm still, you know, with House of Glory. But I think it was right after he won the championship for his own company, and I thought it's in bad taste if you run a company, and you're a wrestler, and you're a champion. I just think it's, I don't know. The fans will see right through it. Like, you can't brag about being a champion if you run your own promotion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nothing against him. And it was my time to leave. Like, you know, I did all I could for, I think I was there for like 2 years or so. Like, they just started running at a Club Amazura. And, you know, they were doing well for themselves. Mm-hmm. I helped get EYBO booked there, even though he thought that they weren't a draw. Like, he said that Pac-Man and Andy V. Ray were better, and I kind of laughed at them. I helped get Silent Finesse booked, but unfortunately Rob got injured and he retired. Like, there were a lot of guys that I helped along the way there. Yeah, so, you know, I left right before their Mankind show. The only match that I booked was Ken Broadway versus Alex Mason. Mm-hmm. And me and Alex were pretty good friends. He lived on the corner from me. I saw a lot of potential in him. And, you know, they didn't think that they were ready yet. Me and Larry Dallas got Alex Mason and Ken Broadway Evolve pre-show match. And, you know, everything was great. And Brian Rett said that they weren't ready. And I thought that was scumbag-ish of them. Because what, take an opportunity like that away from them. Like, you know, they could go out there wearing the House of Glory t-shirts representing the school, getting more students, which means getting more cash flow into the school. And they took that away from the kid. I remember Ken calling me up crying, like he was so happy for the opportunity. Same thing with Alex. And one day to the next, like, you know, they weren't ready, so they're not going to have the match. But, you know, I remember Brian XO having an Evolved six-way match, and he was botching all over the place. Same match Earl Cooter was in, and he was botching all over the place. So, I mean, you can't say your students aren't ready if you're not ready. So, you know, I left, I think, like 3 weeks before All Mankind, and I was happy to be out of the business. Like, I was good moving on with life, because I got to be a part of the business. I didn't need it. I wanted to be there. Mm-hmm. And then I took time off, like, you know, I took pen to paper, and I was like, wow, how would I do things different? What if I could do it myself? And it was a pipe dream. And then I met a guy named Frank Marcel, a.k.a. Lorenz Dean. Mm-hmm. And he told me that he used to run Pro Slam World with House of Glory, and how Brian screwed him over and all this nonsense. Like, he did a YouTube video of me, like, pretty much, like, slandering my name. Yeah. Pretty much everything that he said about me was what he was saying about them. And it makes no damn sense. I was like, just let it be. Sure, I had some bitterness towards House of Glory, but nothing to the point where I hated them, because I still, you know, I was thankful for them giving me that platform, that opportunity to come into that world.
So you're, you know, before I'm sorry to cut you off, but just, so you're saying that everything that Lorenz Dean brought up about you, he had said about Brian XO and House of Glory at separate occasions to you?
Yeah, he told me that he ran a show and he gave Brian XO all the envelopes. And Brian pocketed the money and told the boys that the gate was light. I don't know if that's true or not, because I wasn't there. Uh-huh. But he, you know, he was upset with that. And that's why Quiet Storm quit and all these guys never wanted to come back, like Jay Lethal. And, I mean, they never came back after that. So, I mean, I assumed it as face value. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's true and what's not true with them, because let's face it, they're both kind of liars about a lot of things. So me and Lorenzine, we kind of bonded, and he was like, hey, why don't we, you know, start our own wrestling promotion? I was like, cool. So me and my friends were like, you know, bring a name. So we came up with Tier 1 Wrestling, and Lorenzine loved it. So he orders the ring, he ordered the belt, and I was like, wow, this guy is, you know, he's not playing. He had everything delivered to my house, and I was like, wow, where the hell am I supposed to store a 16 by 16 ring? All right, screw it, I'll just put it in my hallway, no problem. Yeah, so it was delivered to my house, it's still in my house, like, you know, over 2 years later, taking up just a lot of room, and, you know, I never once thought to charge him for any storage. When he got evicted from his apartment, he asked if he could store stuff in my basement, and to this day, I still have chairs, I have his Nerf gun, I have a shit ton of bags and boxes that I've never gone through out of respect, because they're not my property.
Yeah.
But, you know, how do we go from being partners to what happened now, where he's just, you know, shitting all over me for no reason? But, you know, he's the kind of guy that he listens to the wrong people, and he wants to be friends with everybody. So, you know, if they say, hey, fuck Dennis Long, he's going to say, fuck Dennis Long. There's no loyalty in wrestling like that. Okay. So we Tier 1, and the very first show, Luke Hawks wins the championship, and Lorenzine is in the locker room during intermission. He's like, hey, after the main event, I want to go out there and interview Luke Hawks, and I want to punch him because I'm the world's greatest interviewer, and I'm the world's greatest boxer and promoter and all this other stuff. I'm like, no, man, like, we don't get involved. We're just backstage guys. We don't need to be seen. We don't need to be heard. We just backstage. That's it.
Yeah.
So he kind of felt the same way about that. And then on the second show, we were building up Rude Boy Riley. And he wanted to do this thing after Riley, you know, went to confront Luke Hawks. He was going to punch Riley. And I was like, no, we're not going to get involved in any storylines. We're just going to be, owners. Like, we're not going to mess it up. Like a lot of other promoters want to get involved in all the storylines and wrestle. I wanted none of that. Like, I don't want to get involved in anything. I don't want to be seen on camera. So he had such a hard on for wanting to get himself over and not the product. So we had one show, and it was in Long Island. I think it was the third show, and he was like, hey, I can't travel all the way out there. I don't have a ride. Can you get me a ride? I was like, well, if you could come to my house at a certain time, I could get you a ride with me. And we waited for like an hour after we were supposed to leave, and he never showed up. Then he gave me some, you know, some bullshit excuse as to why he was running late. And I was like, don't worry, man, I got it. And that was probably the worst show that we had. It was in Long Island. It was like away from where we were building Tier 1. And it kind of like, you know, kicked momentum away. And it was a risk to, you know, not run in Brooklyn or Queens, but we couldn't find a venue in December because everybody was having holiday parties. So after the show, him and I spoke, and, you know, he was like, all right, cool. You know, let's take a little break and let's focus on next year. And I was like, absolutely. So all of a sudden, you know, we booked the next show, and he becomes very absent. Like, I was going to his job to talk to, like, book shows with him on his break. And, like, more and more, he was always like, oh, hey, I'm busy. Oh, hey, I'm busy. You just book it your way. That was it. Like, well, he went his way. I went my way. Mm-hmm. I had no hard feelings about that.
Yeah.
But the problem is, you know, as a partner, and you're supposed to put money in. He didn't put money in, and I had to borrow money from one of my friends to help pay for the show, and Frank said that he was going to pay him back, and he never did, and I paid the guy back. So there was always that animosity, like, hey, we're supposed to be 50-50 partners, and kind of left me high and dry.
So things he says, like, in that video, like, you still owe him money for the Tier 1 title and all that stuff's all fabricated?
He never asked for it back. The day he made that video, he called me early saying he would go through some stuff in the basement and pick it up. And I was like, all right, cool. So I made time, and he was supposed to come over, and I called him. I was like, hey, man, where are you at?
Mm-hmm.
he never came over. So, you know, I went to go lay down for a nap, and all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up about him making a video on me.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I called him the next day, and I left him a message like, hey, man, if you want to bring and everything back, all you got to do is ask me. But he never picked up the phone. Like, to this day, he never once communicated with me about getting his stuff back. And I went to a lawyer, and pretty much it's considered abandoned property. It's been at my house for so long, he's never voluntarily tried to get it. So yeah, it's mine, I guess.
So you... go ahead.
No, that's it for that.
So I have to ask this. What's the future of Tier 1? What's next for you guys?
I don't know, man. Like, I just had my first kid.
Uh-huh.
And... what, running a wrestling show, like, you get a certain high from it.
Sure.
Out of all the shows combined together, you know, having my first kid is, like, the most amazing thing in the world. And Tier 1 is legit on the back burner. Like, my daughter is not even 2 months old, and just, like, watching her grow within 2 months is, like, better than anything I've ever done wrestling-wise. So, you know, I'm just going to, you know, take a step back and enjoy life and not have to deal with, you know, talent hitting me up for bookings. I legit just want to take a time out. I've been running for a little over 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just want to enjoy life right now. Will Tier 1 be back? Absolutely. But for now, I want to spend time with my family.